Question.
So in the Old Testament, you said that they didn't divide soul, body, and spirit. And so, and now we divide usually. And this came from this culture, this understanding that we need to divide came from with the culture where we live. In Zacharias 21, we have three scriptures. Zacharias 12:1, and it says that God created heaven. He created earth and he created a spirit inside of a person. Also, it says that the person became the living soul. In Isaiah says, it said that our spirit is fighting God, and our soul is kind of confronting, fighting God. And we see that it is used soul and spirit with and, you know, soul and spirit in one verse. So with another word, I saw these first verses and I can make a conclusion that people understood that we have soul and spirit inside of a body.
Okay, the question is, there are references in the Old Testament that seem to separate body, soul, and spirit. And I said you before lunch, you cannot separate body, soul, and spirit in the Old Testament scripture. And so how are we to understand this? Is that about right? Yeah. Okay. Well, let me start by saying that when you take the Old Testament as a whole, the Old Testament sees body, soul, and spirit in a holistic way, not as three separate things. Now, in just a minute, I'm going to mix this up even more, because I will give you some various ways, and scriptures if you want them, where, yes, you do see in the Old Testament, references to body, soul, and spirit, but not in a clear analytical way. And the reason is because in the Old Testament, sometimes body and soul are mixed together. Often, soul and spirit are mixed together. And so what I mean is, when I say it is holistic in the Hebrew mind, is that they do not make a clear distinction that there is a body, there is a soul, and there is a spirit. But rather, there is an interconnectedness between these that goes beyond simply mixing these three separate independent elements called body, soul, and spirit. So hang in with me for a minute, and hopefully you will see this a little more clearly. And then if I have not answered that, then come back to me with the question again. Okay? So, what I do want to say is the thing about the Old Testament indicates that there are some you might say, two essences to humans, the body and the soul, or maybe three, the body, soul, and spirit. But these are so united and so interrelated that they cannot be separated. In fact, if you try to separate the soul from the body, the result is simply death. Because at that point, the body no longer has the soul alive within it. And so this kind of a situation is what would be called a weakened condition, an entry into the world of shadows, a situation where you are now lifeless and essentially that part of you no longer exists. Now, some scriptures that will help make this even muddier, not as a sharp, if you want, are some of the following. Oftentimes you find the soul and the spirit mixed using the same language. So if you want all of these, they're going to be in the copy of the notes, which are going to be on Moodle, and I think there's going to be a copy in the library as well. But for instance, the soul is called the vital principle of life in the Old Testament. Also, the spirit is the vital principle of life. And you see these in Genesis 2, 7, Genesis 7, 22, Job 27, 3, Isaiah 45, 2, among other places. Emotions such as anguish, distress, sorrow, anger, and grief are said to be in the soul. According to Genesis 42:21, 1 Samuel 1:10, Psalm 6, verse 3 and forward, and Judges 18:25. Or these exact same emotions may be in the spirit. Genesis 26:35, Genesis 41:8, Judges 8:3, Job 7:11, and Proverbs 16:32. Rational thought, logical thought, is said to be in the soul, according to Psalm 139:14, Proverbs 19:2, Proverbs 23:7, and Proverbs 24:14. And rational, logical thought is found in the spirit. Exodus 28:3, Deuteronomy 34:9. Volition, that is, your will, is said to be seated in the soul, according to Deuteronomy 21:14. In Exodus 35:21, it is in the spirit. Death relates to the soul in Genesis 35:18 and Numbers 23:10. Death relates to the spirit in Psalm 78:39 and Psalm 104:29. And of course, these are not total, exclusive references, but these are suggestive of the various references that you can find. So in other words, the relationship of the soul and the spirit are very, very closely tied together. So much so that sometimes the soul and the spirit share the same qualities. And this is just simply part of the fact that in the Hebrew mind, these things are not separate things, separate entities or separate essences of humans, but they are part of a whole. Now, let me make it even a little more muddy. In the Old Testament, it was common to see different parts of the body now, as having certain kind of psychic, ethical functions as well as physical functions. And we sort of have that today, because sometimes we talk about you're the love of my heart, or I was very happy in my heart when I heard about something, or my heart is sad, or something like that. Well, in Old Testament times, in the Bible, you will find not just the heart, but many other parts of the body also exhibiting emotions and other things that are directly connected to the soul in the spirit in other places in the Old Testament. So, an example. Heart, the Hebrew word for it is lev, was considered the center of emotions. Joy, grief, anger, hatred, envy, courage, and the center of the will and of the rational, that is the logical mind, and the intellect, which, as I just read a few minutes ago, you also see as being located in the soul and in the spirit. And I gave you a whole bunch of references to that. So not only is the soul and the spirit where the emotions, the rational thought, the will, all of these things located, but they are in the physical part of humans, which is to say, the heart. And the heart is the center, according to the Bible, out of which come all of the issues of life and the place where sin has its origin in the individual. The heart can be dulled. It can be made impure by wine or immorality. It can be hard and insensitive to God and to moral and spiritual issues. You want some verses on this? Judges 18:20, 1 Samuel 1:8, Deuteronomy 19:6, Leviticus 19:17, Proverbs 23:17, and Psalm 27:3. Again, all of these references are in the notes that are available on Moodle, as well as should be up in the library. Not just the heart, the kidneys, in Hebrew, keliot, are the most important part of humans in the Old Testament period. And they received special treatment in sacrifices. And they are the object of God's critical examination and the seat of affection. Today we talk about the heart as being where affection comes from. In the Old Testament time, it was not the heart that affection came from, which is, in a sense, an emotion. It was the kidney, the bowels. The bowels, which in Hebrew are me'aim and krevaim, are the seat of the emotions. and sometimes of the thoughts. But just as the bowels are, so is the heart, so is the spirit, so is the soul. The belly, betim, is the source in Old Testament times of human intelligence. But so is the heart, and in some ways, so was the soul and the spirit as the place where one found rational or logical thought. Flesh and bones, bashar, was the physical substance of humans and animals. In other words, the flesh. It was neutral in moral meaning, but it is also used to refer to a relationship with God, such as Isaiah 66, 14, Jeremiah 20, verse 9, Jeremiah 23, verse 9, Psalm 6, verse 2 and forward, Psalm 35, verse 9 and forward, and Proverbs 14. So, out of all of this, what I'm trying to say is that while the Greek or Western approach was to separate the body, soul, and spirit out as separate essences with separate contributions to human existence, the Old Testament does not separate them out. Yes, you can find verses where it talks about an emotion in the spirit, and other verses which talk about that same emotion in the soul, and other verses that say that emotions come from the heart, or the bowels, or somewhere else in the body. So in other words, in putting all of this together, in the Hebrew mind, the body, the soul, and the spirit are so totally linked together and intertwined that you cannot separate them into three independent essences because they simply overlap together in what they do. And when the soul and the spirit are taken from the body, the result is death. And, of course, the understanding is that the soul and the spirit survive after death. And as Christians, we understand and believe that, in fact, the soul and spirit remain after death and await a resurrection in which they will be reunited with a body, a transformed immortal body. But the three, the immortal body, the soul, and the spirit, will again be intertwined and interconnected and linked together in an inseparable way. So I hope that helps answer your question. In other words, if this is me, you can't take me and separate me into body, soul, and spirit as three separate essences, three separate parts of me. According to the Old Testament, these are so totally linked together that what the soul does some of it the body does. And what the spirit does, some of it the body does. And what the spirit does, some of it the soul does. And what the soul does, some of it the spirit does, and so forth. And so they are not three separate elements or essences that have been combined in me, but rather they are all one. And all of them together make me, me. Okay? That's the Hebrew concept. Now, the Western concept has been to try to make clear divisions. And so the body does certain things in an individual. The soul does certain other things in an individual. The spirit does certain other things. And in psychology and in certain parts of philosophy, there is a debate that exists as to whether there is a soul and a spirit as two separate essences, or whether the soul and the spirit are simply one. Those are all Western issues. In the Old Testament, the body, the soul, and the spirit are all combined into one single entity, which is the human being. And you cannot separate clearly one from another, because they all overlap in what they do. Okay? Now, there's another couple of terms that I want to refer to, again, to simply make this a little bit more muddy and not clear. There are two words in Hebrew, nefesh and ruach, that also seem to relate one to the soul and one to the spirit. And so most people would think of nefesh as relating to the soul. And I believe in English, it says that when God breathed into man the breath of life, he became a living soul. Literally, a living nefesh. And the word is associated with the life principle or force in human beings. It is identified with the physical functions of eating, good health, emotions, will, rational thought, and religious thinking. So it's got a physical element to it, as well as an element that goes beyond simply the physical. And nefesh applies equally to men and women. And in the Old Testament, when the nefesh leaves the body, the person dies. The other word is ruach. Ruach is derived from the notion of air in motion, or wind, or spiritual forces, or spirit. And so oftentimes ruach is translated as spirit. Ruach, again, is associated with the life principle, just like nephesh. And even Old Testament animals in one verse are said to possess ruach. The physical functions of ruach, rather, not the physical, the psychological or psychic functions, include the emotions, the will, and the rational thought. Where did you hear that? Just a minute ago with nephesh. Death is also the departure of ruach from the body. So the point is that while the two words are not identical in their meaning, they have a lot of overlap between them. And in the Old Testament, you cannot pull out and say, this is what soul does, and this is what spirit does, because there is a lot of overlap between them. They are basically not separable, even though what we try to do is to describe and discuss them separately. Their action and their relationship is, in a sense, functional within the individual. Emotions, will, rational thought are identified as being something associated with both of these. Emotion overall tends to be closer to nephesh, and rational thought tends to be closer to the volition or will within the heart. However, that usage is different from the modern world, where emotion is associated with the heart rather than rational thought and the will. And the spirit, the ruach, is more associated with emotion than it is with rational thought. And so in the modern usage of the terms, actually we have in a sense reversed the concepts of soul and spirit, where the soul is going to be different in what it's responsible for than the spirit. And so my point is, not only do we kind of change things from the way the Old Testament did, but in fact, the concepts of body, soul, and spirit are all three in the Old Testament as parts of any human being. But though they are all three in the Old Testament as parts of any human being, they are not easily separated one from another to say, this is what the body does, this is what the soul does, this is what the spirit does. Because there are substantial elements of all three that combine in anything that happens. And at a practical level, I think you can kind of see that. If a person becomes angry, not only do they change in terms of their soul at that moment, not only does the spirit begin thinking in a very not exactly logical or rational way, but a very specific way, but the body, the face, changes. Or if somebody is filled with joy and happiness, not only does the soul feel what we would call lighthearted, and not only does the spirit of the person become really excited and happy, but the body reflects that difference as well. And you can see it on a person's face. If a person is happy, you can see it when you look at them. A lot of times it's a big smile and things like that. But you can see it. So these things are not just one essence or another, but they are completely interrelated with one another. And that's the whole point of looking at this from the Old Testament and drawing its distinction of it from our more analytical approach in the Western world. Because in the Old Testament, they all are together. And they all function in a way in which they are linked one to another. Okay, so let's begin looking then at human relationships, because we have things to say about human relationships as well. And the first of these is to look at the relationship of the human to God. Previously, we looked at God relating to man. Well, humans are in essence the creature of two worlds. The natural world, represented by the natural body, which is the same material as that of the earth, but also the spiritual dimension. The spiritual dimension, it's easy to want to say that's the soul and the spirit, or the soul is what connects the spirit and the body or something. These are all theories people have proposed. But the fact is that humans live in two different dimensions. They may not admit it to themselves. They may not admit it to anybody. But they live in two dimensions. One dimension is this physical world around that we can see. But there is a spiritual reality that is beyond the physical world, and while we do not see it, we actually live in that dimension as well. And that is the dimension where we experience God and a relationship with God. But we also experience a relationship with God in this dimension, the world we do see. And so, you cannot, we have a saying in English, somebody is so spiritually minded, they are no earthly good. Which is to communicate the idea that, okay, maybe they go to church and they go to Bible study and they do all of these Christian-related things, but at the same time, they are easy to anger and do not live a lifestyle that seems to reflect Christianity. At the risk of sounding judgmental, and I don't mean to be, but years ago when I was in the U.S. Air Force, I was a young Christian, and I was going into the headquarters building where I worked one day, and this was on a really big Air Force base, and so there were, I think I was a captain, and this person was a major, and majors and captains and even lieutenants all more or less were generally equal on this base because we had more than 20 generals on the base and something like 800 colonels and things like that. So it, if you were a major or a captain or a lieutenant, you weren't much. And so I was going into the headquarters building one day, and there was this fellow who was a major, and he was coming this way, and I was going this way, and I was somewhat ahead of him. And so it was cold that morning, and so I just kept going on in. I saw him, but he was a ways away, so I didn't bother to salute. Now, I happened to know the man because he was well known in the Christian world around the base as being a very active, charismatic Christian. And when we got inside, he spoke to me and said, "You know, Captain, you failed to salute. I've kicked the," and he used a fairly crude word for it, "of many an enlisted man for doing what you just did." Hardly the kind of way or expression. I mean, it was a very hardened type of statement that was coming from him in what was at best even a very questionable setting as to, you know, basically requiring judgment on my part as well as judgment on his part as to whether it was right or wrong. Well, I just passed it off and I didn't really pay much attention to it. But this is the kind of situation sometimes that we have to remember. We live in both the spiritual world and this world, and the two are not separate. And in the Old Testament, this is very clearly the case. The spiritual world and the physical world are linked together. And what you do in the physical world has an impact on the spiritual. And what you do in the spiritual world, it is expected will have an impact on the physical.